Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Five Star Miz. I am Luke Owen, DAD, and I'm joined by the Professor, the Truth, your Jam That Champion, Dan Layton, and, whoa, special guest in the room, Oliver Davis is here.
Hey, everybody, a couple of Christmas chumpers.
Nice.
That's Ollie original.
No, it's not.
I came up with it by myself.
No, you came in here and you said, I really like your Christmas jumpers. Where can I get one? And
I didn't say that.
And I said, oh, more like Christmas chumpers.
Yeah.
And you then stole my joke. But then what you said was like,
hey, actually, no, don't you be coming here talking about people stealing IP, witchies. Remember? When you robbed my witchy's idea?
Oh, I did do that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we'd collectively come
and then
up
when
with
you spoiled
NXT
for me, and then when you spoiled NXT for them,
that's slightly different. I did spoil NXT for you, but I didn't know you were waiting to watch it.
This is why this podcast takes about an hour 45 minutes every episode.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's a 3-hour show,
and we are just going to be slightly delayed in getting started on Raw today because we are here to promote one of the most exciting times of the year. It's the end of year awards season on the WrestleTalk podcast, and it starts tomorrow with Wrestler of the Year, hosted by myself, hosted by Dan Layton, and hosted by Oliver Davis. We're going to be counting down the 10 best wrestlers of 2023 as voted for by our Patreon backers, Wrestle.com writers, us here at WrestleTalk and Parts of Unknown, and we've got our extended family of the WrestleTalk and Parts of Unknown family have also been nominating on this as well. So we're counting down our best wrestlers. And then on Friday, it's best matches of 2023. On Saturday, it is the best pay-per-views of 2023. Christmas Eve, the worst matches of 2023. Merry Christmas. And on Boxing Day, the worst pay-per-views of 2023. And then
I think that should be renamed the least best pay-per-views.
It kind of is the least best.
That's kind of what we talk about in the worst matches, I think. It's like the worst match or worst pay-per-views. We're like, it's the most mid pay-per-views of 2023. But that's less clear.
Quite a nice year.
And then we have got our annual prediction show. Myself and Oliver Davis, we're doing our 2024 predictions, our wild and wacky predictions. And we did pretty well from last year's going on. We go through what we predicted last year to see how many we got right. I actually did fairly well, certainly on one of them.
Well, we've probably already seen the three count reactions. Everybody has. It's done really well. but they're different predictions.
Yes.
So that you won't see too many repeats.
No. They're actually not at all about wrestling. You're just predicting what's going on in the world. You're like, at some point, there'll be a seismic shift over in the San Andreas Fault.
So we're very excited because it is an end of year awards.
Okay, it's because the
boss has sat next to me and he's just like, you know, time is money.
That's fair.
And mime is
That's
money fair. As well. So, starting tomorrow, best wrestlers of 2023. Best wrestlers of 2023. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. GMT. It is GMT, right?
Can I give a little spoiler for what happened to me in that episode? Legit, my number one pick for best wrestler in the world in 2023, I won't say who it is. You'll have to watch the video to find out, was number 10 overall.
It was.
And I am still outraged because I, for once, I did not go with my heart. I went with who I think is objectively, inarguably, the most impactful, best wrestler of 2023.
Maybe you just don't have your finger on the pulse anymore.
That's what I'm starting to think.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know.
And nobody else voted for him. No, it's because everyone's in their little tribalistic pocket and they can't see the truth anymore.
Well, that truth's right there. No,
that's very good.
We did. And a lot of people did vote for... You're right. You're right there.
You know, just having some of my magic mind.
Okay. Nice.
I do this before most podcasts these days.
If you had that, you'd have got the number one pick.
Yeah. Well, this is what has been expanding my mind. This is the source of how I can predict things like CM Punk will go back to WWE in November.
That was
I said that a year ago.
A very good, accurate prediction.
I didn't really say WWE. Said he'll return.
You said he'd return to AEW in November.
Yeah.
Because you thought he'd return at Full Gear.
But this is really good. It's Magic Mind. They're a really good brand. They've sponsored this episode. And they sent me this actually 3 months ago to be like, do you like it? Is it good? Because I'm a bit of a nootropics nerd.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the turmeric tea?
Oh, I remember the turmeric tea. I remember the mushroom tea.
The mushroom coffee.
Oh, the mushroom.
Yeah, mushroom coffee.
Stunk that. Like, stunk the studio up because you got into mushroom tea and then both you and Laurie got into turmeric tea for a little bit.
I'm a bit witchy. I like a turmeric tea.
But this is, what it does is it's got loads of, I mean, how deep down the nootropic rabbit hole do you want me to go? Let me tell you about my stack.
How deep.
My stack.
Do you want to go?
Go for it.
Well, it's got caffeine in there.
Lovely.
But I did this over the pandemic. I thought, because, everyone went a bit mad in the pandemic. And I went down some rabbit holes and I got caffeine pills. And I was like really, really energetic all day.
Oh, that's why.
But I was also insanely hot and sweaty. And it, honestly, 2 months. I'm like, why am I so hot all the time? And my partner went, could it be the caffeine pills? And I was like, maybe. And I started, it fixed it. And what this does, it does have caffeine in, but not loads, not like, like a monster drink or anything
like
that.
It's like a weak cup of tea.
Yeah, but it also has something called L-theanine, which balances out and takes the edge off. So you get this like...
I think I went to school with her.
So you get it's like a calm, relaxed focus.
Mm. So pep, but a vibe.
Yeah, pep, but a vibe. And also, I got you some.
Oh, thanks.
Aww,
thanks, mate.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
Thank Any for Gretchen Wieners over there?
Thank Magic Mind.
Thank you very much.
Do more. Stress less. All right.
Oh, it's matcha.
Sounds nice.
We're entering 2024. You know what? You know how much I love New Year's and sort of revolutions.
Yeah, you do love New Year's revolutions.
Resolutions.
You never stop talking about it.
And AEW Revolution.
Yeah.
And I just, this has helped me get started on things I didn't want to do. You know when you always just find more and more excuses? I'll get to it later.
Also known as my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, take one of those. It just makes it a little bit easier.
I like
to
a routine.
Start the things.
I like a little thing to kick me off, a pep. A little pep to get going.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were getting really sweaty every once in a while and you were like, oh, I just really stink today, and you were blaming your t-shirts? Do you remember you had that? I can't remember which t-shirt it was, but it may have been one of those Spider-Man t-shirts you had. And you were like, I've always like really stinky at the end of the day, and I think it's my t-shirt that's making me stink.
Well, I still hold this theory that clothes do have a saturation point.
They do. No, they absolutely do.
Where they will just turn, and no matter how hot I wash them,
they will also stink of me. We're gonna go so far away from Raw if you pull at this thread. But if that's literally true,
yeah,
because especially if you use like certain detergents and fabric softeners, it doesn't actually fully clean them. It traps the soil and the bacteria and all the things that make the smell in. So I'm one of my whole things is a new green and clean extravaganza for 2020. What's happened? But yeah, no, there's truth to that.
Yeah.
Truth?
The truth has spoken.
I stand like the man in orthopedic shoes. I stand corrected.
Well, I'll let you get on with your Raw because I've only watched the one match.
The Jerry Lawlerism.
The rest of it.
Which one match did you watch?
Gunther versus Miz.
Because it's 5 stars.
I wouldn't say it's 5 stars.
You'd say it's 6. I understand. That makes sense to me.
I'll mute your microphone.
Re-record the best matches of 2023.
I mean, in before the end. Look.
Bye, Ollie. Leave his
chair, watch though. All the shows from tomorrow.
Yes, we have got our end of year award season starts tomorrow here on the Wrestle Podcast channel.
I'm going to leave a chair for my belt.
Thank you, Ollie. Lovely to see you. Merry Christmas. I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So let's talk about Monday Night Raw.
Go on. Then,
also,
why not?
Welcome to the Rust Talk podcast channel. Please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. What are you excited for the end of year awards season? Also, what did you make of Miz versus Gunther? If you're watching live, join the conversation. And if you want to have your thoughts read out on the air, rusttalk.com/support is the link to click, and you can get your thoughts and statements read out on the air above the $5 mark. As we kick things off talking about the Miz versus Gunther.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday for everyone who wanted a collision review. I was poorly. I'm really sorry.
Sorry, you're absolutely right. We've had
lots of good wrestling. And while you were looking for notes, I thought I'd address the elephant in the house.
That's absolutely right, yeah. Slight bit of admin. Alexander Burke. We did not get to do a collision review yesterday because Dan was unwell.
I was poorly. I'm sorry. I went away for the weekend up to the Manchesters, picked up a cold, and was chronically not well yesterday.
And it's the holiday season, so a lot of people are taking time off. Pete's off this week. Yeah. Tempest has already gone back to Canada. Ollie's a busy boy. So I was pretty much on my own. I could have done the collision review on my own, but I don't think anyone particularly wants to watch me just talk about how awesome this episode of Collision was.
The six of us who hate Eddie Kingston.
It was such an awesome episode of Collision.
I think that's why people were a little bit disappointed, because there was a lot of good stuff on there.
Well, I was too. Yeah. I was really gutted we didn't get to talk about it, because, like, I mean, aside from anything, mind-blowing... two women's matches on the show.
The one week I took off.
I know. Two women's matches. I think that's actually a first in AEW history. In Dynamite or Collision, there have been two women's matches on
Goodness
the same show.
Gracious.
Yeah.
Well, they've had a new title. So.
There was actually more time in ring on those two shows than there was on Raw for women's matches.
I mean, that is a first. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it is a first.
I'm being facetious.
But yeah, no, it was a very good episode of Collision. So sorry we didn't get to review it yesterday, but Dan was unwell. But so Dan's better now, and he'll also be back tomorrow as we can do the Wednesday Night War.
I'm just in the phlegmy leakage section of the... Yesterday was in the one more day in bed watching Barefoot Contessa, and I'll be fine. And there we are.
Yeah. So that's cool. Right. So on to business.
Come on, five stars, Miz.
Let's talk about The Miz versus Gunther. This was announced last week on Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. Miz and DIY beat Imperium in a six-man tag. Miz had already kind of alluded to after the Survivor Series match, hey, I want one more shot at your belt. And Gunther said last week, Mike, you can have another shot at my Intercontinental Championship with the proviso that when you lose, you cannot challenge for my belt again as long as I'm champion.
And they put that on every single graphic, and it was comically long.
But I think it added wonderful stakes to this match. It
absolutely.
Because this match could have just been a rematch, and it would have been just as good because the in-ring work was so, so good. But that extra element of drama of this is kind of the Miz's last chance in this era to go for the IC title, added this real extra spark to the match that was really, really magical. Like, it was so, so good because it allowed Miz to tell his story in the match, which isn't just, I want to win this IC title because, you know, I'm the Miz and I'm awesome. I want to be a 9-time champion, deedly, deedly, dee. It was, I want to prove to you and to everyone else, I belong in the conversation of greatest IC champs of all time.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to beat the best IC champion of the modern era, the only man who's made this belt feel worth a damn in 20 years. I have to beat that guy. And this is my last chance to do it. And hot dog, I thought they told an exceptional story in this. And that's just one element of this match that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
But I've talked for a while, so I'll throw the mic to you so you can get your thoughts in.
Well, only to really echo that, because that was very much how I felt as well. I think the graphic was hilarious, in they put it down to like 8-point font. I tried to read it, but I didn't have enough time while it was on screen to read it. But it was, if the Miz loses to the ring General Gunther, he can't, like, and it was whatever. It was like so much. Call it the last chance challenge. Right there. Job done. Nice and snappy title. It was the last chance challenge. He had no more opportunities to go for the belt as long as Gunther was champion. And that, in a way, was one of many points which have made this belt feel really valid, really valuable, really something that people really want to go for. You know, like when in the football, it's like the League Cup, and they put out their like second string team of reserves and under 18s or whatever, and it makes you feel like they don't really care about this particular tournament. this is the opposite of that. That's kind of, it makes it feel like it's something, no, I want to put out a full strength team to really go all out for the belt. It adds an extra bit of jeopardy. And actually, I felt like that stipulation was something that you could, if you want to, carry on forward. And we got further developments later on in the show, and I started thinking about, you know, it's only a couple of months to WrestleMania. When we've done the whole match or whatever, I'll do my little fantasy booking pitch to take us forward. But I thought it was something that they were talking in the match as well about how Miz is desperate because he really loves that belt. We know that Miz loves that belt. He's the talking smack segment is always present. So yeah, the stakes around the whole thing felt, given that it essentially had a 1 week build, and we saw it a couple of weeks ago at Survivor Series, and the match there was relatively mid. Like it wasn't bad. It just wasn't. I enjoyed it.
It's the best Miz match I've seen in a while.
Until. But that's it. Like it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I guess we'll watch that again. It got to do something at Christmas time. Yeah. Sure.
I think a lot of us had, because I don't know about you, but certainly from my perspective, when they kind of set up that it was going to be the Miz again, my reaction was, oh.
No, fair.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'd rather we move on to something else. We kind of were really into that Chad Gable chap.
A few months ago.
Kind of like maybe to revisit that rather than just do Mike again.
Stick a pin in that. Because I was exactly the same as you. I was kind of just like, and as an avowed Miz fan, I was like, oh, okay, like fine. And then it kind of tied in with a DIY Imperium thing. And then like, sure, I guess Gunther needs something to do before the end of the year. And then,
yeah.
Then the match happened.
So the other element of this match that I loved in terms of the story they were telling in ring, and I think this only falls apart in one area, and this is why I can't in all good conscience say this is an actual fight.
Ah!
But it's not their fault. It's the constraints of TV that makes it.
Yeah.
It makes it a 4¾ match than the actual full 5 stars, but I'll get into that in just a second. But the story of this match was, The Miz became Submission Miz.
New moves, Mike.
He was doing all these submission moves, and Gunther didn't really know how to react to
them. Yeah.
And you sort of saw him a little bit flannery, being like, oh, what's this? And you got Wade Barron commentary being like, it's like Frank Gotcha out there. I was like, well, you know, it's calm down, Wade, but I take your point. You know,
you should just be doing that, though.
Yeah, actually, yeah, absolutely. As the common commentator, you should be trying to put over these things. And so, like, there's The Miz just almost like outworking Gunther. But that was then followed up with, every time Miz got an element of offense, Gunther shut it down.
Mm.
Anytime he was just trying to rally a little bit, one shot, Miz goes down. And then it's Gunther standing above him. Come on, Mike, what are you? Mike, you're a weirdo, you're this, that, and the other. And then the Miz would try and fire back. Bang, shut straight back down again. Until Gunther went to chop him on the outside, and Miz ducked, and Gunther chopped the ring post. Now, The Miz has a weakness.
Jeopardy.
It's Jeopardy. And this is the only reason why I said I can't give it the full 5 stars, because that was just like, oh man, what an awesome spot. Now The Miz can take over. Went to ad break. Mm. And when he came back from ad break, Gunther was on top. I'm like, oh, okay. Right. So all of that Jeopardy sort of lost ever so slightly because I've had to stop for 2.5 minutes to do an ad break. And then we can get back into the action. Mm. But that's the constraints of TV. That is not the fault of the people in ring. But when
also, a counterpoint to balance didn't bother me at all because Gunther sold it so well.
Exactly. Because when they came back from the ad break and they picked back up that story again, which they weren't doing during the commercial break, but they could do it now they were back on TV, was Gunther had this moment where he hit the powerbomb, but there was clearly not as much power on that powerbomb because of the hand. And then he locked in the Boston Crab, but he couldn't hold on to the Boston Crab because of the hand. So now Miz has his opening. So Miz had this moment where he locked in the sleeper, not enough power on the sleeper because of the hand. So Miz rolls it through into a great near fall. Mm.
And this was a point in the match where I felt like it was about to finish. Like, you know, Gunther has done the whole, I've done a power bomb on you, he kicks out, well, I'll get you straight into a Boston Crab. And I was like, great. They did the bit where it looked like Miz, you know, had an opportunity. There had been a period of the match where Gunther was just destroying him, going, I want to see you get back up, Mike, come on, you know, he's teasing him, whatever. A bit of folly with the hand, but he's got the Boston Crab on now. Miz is about to tap out. Oh no, we're carrying on. Oh, Miz is going to take advantage of the hand thing. Interesting.
So we have the sleeper, the reversal of that sleeper into a really, really good near fall. But the beauty of that is immediately follow straight back up, skull crushing finale. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what? And Gunther kicks out 2.9. And it's like, woof, that is an incredible near fall. But okay, we're going into the final sequence here because Gunther knocks him back down. He goes up top to hit the splash. Miz hits, immediately following on from this skull crushing finale, an avalanche skull-crushing finale from the, and my heart jumped into my throat. Because I don't want Gunther to lose this belt. And I certainly didn't want The Miz to be the one to end this reign. That's not really me being like my anti-Miz agenda. I just don't think he's the guy. I think there are five other... I don't know who the guy is yet to end this reign, but I don't think it's The Miz. I also don't think it's Chad Gable anymore. We can heat Chad Gable back up, but it's not Chad Gable at this point at the moment. So I was like, I am not ready for Gunther's reign to end. Also, he's the best thing in WWE right now. This is the best reign that WWE has at the moment. I think we should just put more stock into this. I don't want Gunther to lose. So when he hit that avalanche goal finale, I was like, oh, it's over. Miz is going to win. And the reason for that is the extra added element of this is his last chance. So I was like, holy, I think he's going to win. And Gunther slowly rolls to the outside. And I was like, oh, that's superb. So, so good. And then it got even better because Gunther gets back into the ring. And what does he do? Powerbomb. Rainmaker. Powerbomb. And the three quick, devastating moves, like absolute destruction of The Miz in three moves, actually was so crushing to this crowd because this crowd, unlike me, wanted to see The Miz win.
Gunther turned Miz into a babyface.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like this is a babyface turn that has worked like magic. And this crowd wanted to see The Miz win this belt. They really wanted to see him win the big one. And Gunther's absolute domination in those final 3 minutes, every single time was just more wind, more wind, more wind, in the best way possible. This is actual, like, great heat of just being like, oh, no, he's done it again. He's done it. He's crushed our dreams again. I thought this match was absolutely superb. In a year of just awesome Gunther matches, he has ended off the year with just another awesome Gunther match.
Yeah.
He is the perfect wrestler. He is the best wrestler in WWE. I think he is arguably one of the best wrestlers in North America right now. He is a perfect, perfect pro wrestler. And I love him to pieces. Never lose this title and then beat Seth for his and then beat Roman for his. Give him all the belts. Give Imperium the tag belts. They're the best thing in WWE right now.
But there's dissension. And props to Miz for meeting the moment as well.
Absolutely.
I want to say, because even like, you know, he managed to reverse his most famous crossbody. Like, it was that he was throwing everything he had at Gunther and Gunther was able to take it back. No, there was so much going into it where I didn't want Miz to win either. But I don't think many people in the crowd actively thought or wanted Miz to win. But the trick of wrestling is to allow you to suspend your disbelief long enough that you think it could. We're getting, because we're at the end of the year, a lot of the, here's a thread of the best moments of the year. And Michael Cole's call at Elimination Chamber when Sammy hits him with a Helluva kick and he screams, "Do you believe in miracles?" And it's like, well, hang on, in this moment, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Every time you're watching a match like this, you want to believe something could happen. We got it in the main event as well. I kind of wanted the Creeds to win the tag titles in that, spoilers. It's just providing you with enough that you believe it could happen. Or at the very least, even you as someone who watches wrestling enough times and for as long as we have, to sit there in the moment and really give yourself to it. Allow them as wrestlers to tell you the story, as storytellers to play with you and then tell whatever story they want to do. And this match was hugely effective in that regard. And a large part of it, yes, was to do with the stipulation, but it was also to do with both of the wrestlers deciding to just go out there and give it some. And, you know, whether it was that weird, like, Wade called it like a modified cravat or like a reverse or something. It just, and then Gunther's got him on the top rope and is standing his foot in, even though that's illegal. He just looked like he was trying to fold The Miz in half.
It was annoyance.
But The Miz kept getting back up and kept fighting because the belt was worth it, because this was his last chance. And I think it's the last chance element that has me thinking, well, let's go forward and see what we can do with that and using that. How many times have we talked about, it was last week in fact, Adam Pearce brings in three losers and is like, we need to talk about Gunther. And in this episode we had Bronson Reed come in and say, I heard you were talking about Gunther, I'd like to talk about Gunther. Well, I then went back and looked at Gunther's year, because it's been a fantastic one. Of those people, you've got Ciampa, you got Reed, you got Gable, McIntyre. Riddle and Ali have both been released, so they're not in the picture anymore. McIntyre, I'm going to remove from this three. why can't we do a last chance challenge for each of these people to lead us up to WrestleMania? Have this story where, like, you want another go? There's no one on Raw that can really take me. You know, give Ricochet a shot, I'll bash him down. Champa, do you want to go? I beat you already. Last chance, one more chance with me. As long as I'm champion, you can never fight again. And you get these right the way through. I have my little fantasy booking pitch of Bron Breakker entering the Rumble and surprising everybody by eliminating Gunther and leading to a little feud between those two that culminates on Raw because Gunther can't go to Elimination Chamber because of visa issues. So then when you get to WrestleMania, I think that's how you put the heat under Chad Gable, if you want to give it to Chad Gable. Or maybe you do want to give it to Bron Breakker and create a new star. I think because of the quality that you have so eruditely shared that Gunther has to build people, even people like The Miz, who, you know, I'm perhaps biased in this regard, have always had an appreciation and a respect for, but the vast majority of people delighted in the sort of heel out elements of it because they just didn't like him or whatever. They got behind him in this moment in the course of telling the story. They suspended their disbelief enough that they were... When Gunther rolled out of the ring after that skull-crushing finale from the second rope, even though I knew he was never seriously going to lose, I was gutted. Genuinely, in the moment... Oh, he's not done it. The smart, wily heel has got him out and has decided, I'm going to just fold you up, knock every ounce of air out of your body, and get the win. He's able to do that. So whoever does take the title from him, and I don't personally think it should be a multiple belt thing, whoever does manage to be the person to do it is going to end up looking like a star. So use all of these things to your advantage. That would be my pitch.
I mean, to your point there, it's... We talked about this on Dynamite's review, this idea of the Max effect, that when you go into a feud or you get involved in a storyline with MJF, all of a sudden your stock is like raised in AEW. Hangman Page is like a really good example of this. You know, a man who came off two pay-per-view losses in a row to Swerve in like a really like very serious feud between the two of them, a very like personable feud. 2 weeks later, all of a sudden he's like involved in this Hangman thing. And now I was like, oh, yeah, Hangman should be in the title picture again. Mm. Like, the second you get involved with MJF, your stock is raised within AEW. The Acclaim stock was raised because they were involved with MJF. Adam Cole has massively had his stock raised in AEW by being involved. Wardlow, no one gave a single toss about Wardlow towards the end of his last run that he had in AEW. He's come back. He's going after MJF and was like, he could be going for the world title. Samoa Jones is another name. That's the Max effect. Gunther is that guy on Raw. The second you go into a feud with Gunther, all of a sudden you're taken so much more seriously. Look at Chad Gable. Mm. Chad Gable in the Alpha Academy, goofy comedy trio, the stuff they were doing, the Viking Raiders, goofy comedy stuff. He goes into a feud with Gunther, all of a sudden he's the most serious wrestler, and you as an audience take him seriously. The Miz, who part of his entrance is, I've got massive balls. The Miz... And I'm watching him being like, oh, I genuinely believe you could beat this man. I buy into it because that's the power of Gunther. And the other point I wanted to make is, and I've made this point several times over on the podcast, the thing I love the most about Gunther and why I think he is a perfect wrestler, and particularly a perfect big man wrestler, he is not afraid to sell.
Yeah.
Big man wrestlers are often told, don't sell. Don't take the bumps. Don't go down. Stay on your feet. You've got to be the big tree that is hard for the smaller person to chop down. Vince had a whole thing. He sent a lot of the big guys down to NXT to be like, you need to learn how to work like a big man. Keith Lee was someone who sent back to NXT, learn to work like a big man, because that was the model of how big man wrestlers work. Gunther has never been that. Gunther sells. And because Gunther sells, he shows vulnerability, which means you can buy into someone who is smaller than Gunther pinning him. But he never looks like he's in trouble. He can be beaten, but in the end, he is the dominating force. Unless you get that, unless you're like a Will Ospreay and you get that, you know, that lucky thing. But often, more often than not, Gunther is the victorious. That is the magic of Walter. That's the magic of Gunther.
When you get to a point where... you're potentially running the risk of it going too long and you start wondering, well, who's going to be the one to take it from him? Is there going to be anyone to take it from him? It kind of like there's an element, there's an argument for long title reigns. There's an argument against long title reigns. And part of my argument against, for instance, Roman's long title reign is it's hard for me to really buy into anything because he's never really around. Except when he shows up on SmackDown, or except when he shows up and he's wrestling LA Knight at Crown Jewel and I see the entrance and I see him in the ring and I go, oh, you are a big star. I actually feel it. And the crucial thing with Gunther is he's here. often, and he wrestles for that belt often, and he shows that vulnerability and he shows that weakness, but he's able to always find a way through. He's able to adapt to whether you are a high flyer, you are a technical, you are a brawler, you are a bruiser, you're a big guy, you're a little guy. And that's what then ultimately gives you the belief in him. And it's almost the fact that you can liken a Gunther match to, you know, those little machines, I don't know if we still have them, but where you'd put the 2p in and it would sort of go around and it was a way to gamify giving to charity.
The little swirly thing.
Or like the Marble League, if anyone watches the Marble League, they have a it's like cyclone thingy, and you start quite wide and you're going at that, and then you get faster and you get faster and you get faster and you get faster, and it slips through. That's a Gunther match, mm-hmm. right? He's got that ability to start slow, kind of methodical, and then by the end of it, you are breathless and on your feet and how is this going to go? And that's when he decides to fold the ever-living. Yeah. I remember a couple of weeks ago, he did a sleeper on someone and got applause for it. Do you know what I mean? Because the match just was so perfect to build them. And someone tried to argue back that it was them trying to G up. It wasn't that kind of applause. Those two applauses are different. He's just that good.
Yep.
And I don't want this reign to go on forever because I don't want it to run the risk of oversaturation.
Absolutely.
But the way you end it has the opportunity to make someone new and push Gunther into world title space. So you need to do it right. It's delicate.
That's the thing. You and I have talked about this before, but Gunther has made a belt that meant nothing feel like the most important belt, arguably. Like it's certainly, I think, the third most important belt in WWE, sort of hierarchical, because there are two world titles.
Mm.
But I really do fully believe it is the more important belt on Raw. It feels to me like it's the more important belt on Raw. Mostly because of its longevity, but also because it's Gunther and he's had it for, you know, X, Y, and Z, right? So he has done that. He has made that belt feel very special. It's also the booking. It's also, you know, Triple H and creative and the way that Triple
H... They want
to
challenge
it. Exactly. They have created this challenger and champion mentality, and that has made the Intercontinental title feel legit important.
Mm.
And it has not done for so, so long, and he's made that belt feel important as well as creative. That means that the person who does beat Gunther has got some mighty shoes to fill, but it's also, as you say, an opportunity to really strap the rocket to someone and make them feel like the next big thing on Monday Night Raw.
I don't want to overcomplicate it, and maybe that's the argument that should be made. You don't have to. Just carry on. You beat Gunther. Great. Well, now you have to defend it. It's a workhorse belt for a reason. So have great matches. I know that sounds so trite and glib and like whatever for us to say on a podcast about wrestling. Having good wrestling matches is really how you make a belt feel. And that doesn't mean like heatless. That doesn't mean just putting on a match and then that'll do. You need to nurture it. The reason we're like, who's going to defeat Gunther is because every single time there's been a challenger, it's felt like the next one might. Do you know what I mean? So
honestly, this match was fantastic. If you haven't watched this week's Raw, go out of your way to watch The Miz versus Gunther.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely superb.
It was.
It's never going to be in the conversation of best matches of the year. Because year has just been so, so stacked.
Yeah.
But what a way to round off the year.
It's not even like the best Gunther match.
Absolutely not. No.
Like, you know,
that's the strength of Gunther matches.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But like, I think that this is, because this is our last Raw of the year. Mm-hmm. Next week is a best of.
Yep.
And then the week after that is day one. So we're into 2024. So this is our last Raw of 2023. And what a way to go out.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I wish this was the main event.
Yeah,
I wish this was the last thing on the show because I just thought it was so great. Not to take away from the main event that we did get, but I just thought this was so great. I'd have loved for us to end off our Raw 2023 with this.
Yeah.
But it was so great. So that's also a note as well. We're not doing an episode of Raw next week. We're not doing a Raw podcast next week. For starters, it's Boxing Day.
Yeah.
and I'm not working on Boxing Day. So that is when our worst pay-per-views of 2023 will be going out. There will be a live Dynamite review next week. There'll also be no Collision review next week.
AEW bias. What is this?
Well, there's no Collision review because I'm not working Christmas Day either. but there will be a live Dynamite review next week, and there'll be World End coverage. We'll be doing a World End podcast on the 31st,
and then we'll be back for Raw on the 2nd.
That is correct. Yes, I won't be.
I'll be.
You will be, but I'm taking the first week of January.
You're going to be so hungover.
Oh, I'm going to town like Santa Claus. I am going to town.
As well you should. You work hard.
Thank you, bud.
I don't work hard. That's why I have to come in.
Well, one of the reasons why is we found out recently that I still had 20 days of holiday to take before the end of the year.
Quick, go away. Stop working.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Get in your Ultra Chats. Let us know what you thought of this episode of RawWrestle.com/support. Will Campbell is kicking things off to say, "Hi guys, I've liked The Miz for a long time. He's a reliable hand, a safe worker, and I enjoy the pratfalling. And like last night, if given the opportunity and the right opponent, can pull a banger out of his back pocket. Good lord, that was awesome."
I think when you say things like a reliable hand, a safe worker, those things can easily be flipped and used as a negative. And actually, They really aren't. They are. You need those people on your roster to be able to go, "I know for a fact that I can send The Miz out and I'll fill up 15 to 20 minutes of my TV time and it's going to go okay." That's
because he's very good.
Because he's good on the mic.
Can manipulate in the crowd. Can get the crowd to chant whatever he wants. He's very good at that.
What is wrestling, but specifically WWE's brand of wrestling for?
Yeah,
it's for crowd work. It's entertainment. And he can, you know, good at the mic, good at manipulating the crowd, and he's decent in the ring.
Yeah.
And that is that is the reason he's had as long a career as he's had.
And only being injured once in all of that.
And who is the polar opposite of a reliable hand who's just re-signed for the company? Well, there's a program you could do if you wanted to. Send the Punk to the Miz Card Vortex. Like, but it's a good thing. Yeah. And I know that's the point you're making.
Well, that's it. And like, I've said this about The Miz in the past, and people have read that as, "You hate The Miz, you have this anti-Miz agenda, X, Y, and Z." But I was like, no, I think it's not a bad thing to be a safe, reliable hand.
Yeah.
To be like, I've got 15 minutes of TV that I need to go out there, and I need someone who I can go out there and just know that they'll be able to do it. I think the comedy ran stale. I think the jokes weren't funny, but they always worked. And I've always said this on Raw, he always controls the crowd, always manipulates the crowd, always gets them chanting whatever it is they're looking to get chanted that night.
And that's a taste thing.
And that's a taste thing. As comedy is subjective. He's incredible at that. And you're right. Like, when you say, if you hear someone say, like Will Campbell did it, a safe like a reliable hand. People will hear that as a negative. Yeah. It's not. I think it is an. It's one of the ultimate compliments. Mm.
And that's what we're saying. Yeah. For sure.
Sean has been a member for 31 months in a row. It says, "What a fun Raw! Didn't feel like a 3-hour show. Miz and Gunther was a great match. Honestly." Didn't feel like a 3-hour
show. I agree with that completely. Yeah, it didn't.
Outer Rim Observer has been a member for 18 months in a row. Says, who's your guy's pick to beat Gunther for the IC title? And should he lose it at Mania? I don't think there's anyone currently 5-star ring general. That's kind of where I'm at the moment.
So
I don't know who the guy is right now.
Well, the reason that I've picked someone like Chad Gable is because... And I believe you can reheat. I think saw that this year, because if you think about where Alpha Academy were last year to where they are now, and I've always had a fondness for Alpha Academy and a fondness for Chad Gable, even in their heel roles. This year, it really, like, between Viking Rules and then his program with Gunther, there was a period of time there where Chad Gable was the best thing on Raw, and you look forward to every single week. And that wasn't, to get from A to B, wasn't actually that much time when you reflectively look back and think about it. It feels like much more time because we're in so often. So I think you can reheat Chad Gable, and then you've got someone who, you know, we saw it with the Creeds when they came up and their first match was with Alpha Academy, and they looked like $1 million from the get-go, and look how well that's done for the Creeds. That's how, part of that is because the Creeds are Creeds, but the other half of that equation is Chad Gable and how he's able to make anyone look amazing. I think that's the person you can continue the good work Gunther has done. Alternatively, you want to make a new star immediately. I think Bron Breakker has it, personally. Yep.
Luke Owens, number one fan here. Turns out The Miz can be a great wrestler. I like the tease of Jay possibly going after the IC title would elevate him greatly to dethrone Gunther and win his first singles title. Then maybe defend it versus Jimmy at WrestleMania 40 to add more spice to that. Well, I don't think that feud needs more spice added to it.
No, it doesn't. I think Jay taking the belt, that's a very old WWE way of booking it, is we'll chuck the title on there as well. When actually necessarily is not the best place for the title or for that feud, if that makes sense.
And Charles Burke, who's been a member for 31 months in a row, says, Gunther versus Miz was a great and a fun show. Imagine Okada arrives at Mania to face Gunther for the IC title. I want that. Hope everyone has a great holiday.
Do you remember? I mean, if you want to play with a re-debut or a new star or whatever, and it's Cody's debut at WrestleMania 38.
Yeah.
I guess maybe MJF could show up and do it.
Well, I mean, I think it's more likely he's re-signed.
I know, that was me being a little troll.
Like, because I'm pushing my whole thing of, like, Gunther, give Gunther both belts, because, like, I'm a big Gunther mark. I think he's the best thing. I don't think that's necessarily actually the right thing to do. Also, I think we're probably looking at, we talked about this last week, Seth versus Punk is your World Heavyweight Championship match at WrestleMania. So you're looking at Gunther versus someone for the IC belt. That feels like that's the time.
Well, I do too. Possibly. I mean, like, it felt like it was the time with... he's back. It felt like it was the time with Cody.
Yeah,
so that's why I always... I was thinking about this a lot the past couple of days because I've been watching old stuff and thinking ahead and seeing graphics on the internet and whatever. And I'm like, fan-made graphics, not real graphics. And it's like... It feels like WrestleMania 40 is a neat place to... change titles or whatever.
Yeah.
That doesn't always mean it will.
Nope.
So.
We'll certainly see. Get in the rest of your Ultra Chats. We'll read out all of them above the $5 amount before the end of the show. WrestleTalk.com/support. If this is your first time here, please do press the subscribe button and give us a little thumbs up as well. Helps us in the old algorithms. Mm. Tomorrow is the end of year award season, and it kicks off tomorrow here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel with Wrestler of the Year 2023. It's the big one, and it's an hour-long show as well.
We're like a little natter.
It's me, it's Dan, and it's Ollie, and we are counting down the top 10 wrestlers of 2023 as voted for by a huge panel of judges. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be really, really good. Also, tomorrow on Parts of Unknown, Dan heads in to part 4 of his Wednesday Night War series against Laurie Blake.
Currently in the lead.
Yes.
Winner of the Wednesday Night War. Series 3.5, we're calling it, joins season 4 of the Monday Night Wars. I need this. Like, I need it, right? Mm. So I'm going to have to bring it my... I'm going to have to start taking notes. That's how serious I'm taking it.
Finally! Finally! Uh, But this episode of Raw, it was the final episode of Raw 2023, and it kicked off like the summer of 2023 yeah. with the Judgment Day coming out for a promo.
Might as well close the year. We've spent basically the entire year doing the same thing.
So they came out in full force as well. It was a full lineup of the Judgment Day, which was actually quite a fun sight to see all five of them coming out. And they were there to hype up the Creed Brothers match in the main event, set up Rhea versus Ivy Nile, which was later confirmed in the show as happening, and give Dom some of that, you know, that heat. The Judgment Day, boo! You know, it's the usual shtick. It's, you know, it's the usual stuff they do. And then R-Truth comes out. And I've been enjoying this R-Truth stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of the comedy, it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't. But when it came out, I did get a little bit like, tee-hee! Like, well, it's a little bit... Because I love this gimmick of he thinks he's in the Judgment Day and JD isn't. Mm. And I think JD's selling of that's really funny. I think Damian Priest finding that to be quite charming because he also doesn't want JD in the group is very, very humorous. And Truth and JD have got matching tops because JD's name's not on the merch, so he's just put it on himself.
Yeah.
And Truth's done the same thing. So really, how is Truth not more of a member of the Judgment Day than JD McDonough is?
I mean, there was a lot to find, really. I mean, we've had cynical times as wrestling fans over the years, and maybe I'm just old and worn down or whatever, but there was something quite festive about this. Like, yeah. Truth comes out and they do the Punk Rollins stare down, even the way they frame it, like with the crowd sort of out of focus and they're looking at each other and they both look, which, like, when Punk and Rollins did it last week, it harkened back to Rock and Hogan, you know. Like, there was something kind of funny about that, Truth wearing the same gaffer tape on a t-shirt, to your point. Saying, like, I think we should have a Miracle on 34th Street fight, which had already been announced by Cole. So I was like, wait, are they doing that stupid thing that they've done before? Only for JD to be like, that match has already been booked. So I was like, oh, wait, it's Truth being Truth.
It's we pre-announced that match. That match is already happening.
Yeah, and then Priest getting a kick out of the whole thing and the idea that JD could be sent out of the group. There was so much to enjoy.
Yeah, so Truth comes in and he's like, guys, you didn't tell me we were coming out for a promo segment. I was like, yeah. He saw, oh, the Judgment Day are out there.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Judgment Day. The guys didn't tell me. He's like, guys, you didn't tell me part of it. And he gets into the ring and he's like, I survived the initiation last week. Where it really hurt. Like, it really hurt me physically and emotionally. But, you know, I've now joined the group.
But they hazed him.
Yeah, they hazed him a little bit. JD steps up and he's just like, oi, come here to me. No, you're not. Like, you're not in this group and stuff, this and the other. And they do the joke about setting up the Miracle on 34th Street fight that had already been pre-announced. And Truth ups the ante by adding the stipulation. It is now a loser leaves Judgment Day match. And Damian Priest literally goes, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And they juggle. And Rhea Ripley steps in, is like, Damian.
Yeah.
The fact as well, Truth keeps calling him DP.
Yeah.
Is quite childish, but, you know.
It gets a pop.
It made me laugh.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, Rhea Ripley having to step in to be the actual leader of the group and be like, no, we're not having Damian Priest kick out the lad that he doesn't want in this group. And they then have this plunder match. And it was, you know, it's your Christmas plunder match. They hit each other with candy canes. They threw each other into Christmas trees and presents and whatnot. Michael Cole was just saying innocuous Christmas phrases.
He was a literal physical embodiment of a Christmas cracker joke.
Yeah.
Where can I slip a pun in? I'm going to try.
I don't even think sometimes he was just saying, he wasn't even saying puns. He was just saying Christmas things.
He kept calling Dominic Mysterio a Scrooge. And he, in fact, said Scrooge a lot this episode. I don't think he's read A Christmas Carol.
No, of course he hasn't.
I don't think he knows what Scrooge is.
No, because he's not a Scrooge.
No.
He really isn't a Scrooge.
No, not at all.
But he was just saying, he was like, oh, he won't be having a silent night. Mm. Hit him in the jingle bells. Oh, I'm sure he won't like that. Just saying Christmas things. Christmas jumpers, you know, just saying Christmas stuff. But it's good fun. I would argue, actually, the loser leaves Judgment Day stipulation actually added something to this match. Because Michael Cole's there putting over the stipulation as real, while Wade Barrett, in his wonderful heel bit, I think you're fine, actually. It's not a real stipulation. They never actually said it's going to happen. And there's Michael Cole like, no, that's what the stipulation is. Well, I think you're fine. It's all of this presentation. Put a huge smile on my face.
Yeah, it's absolutely what you want.
I thought this is exactly what you want from a Thunder match.
That's what you want from the first episode from the Christmas episode of Raw. Like, the way to kick it off, it was silly and entertaining. And then the fall coming from Priest and Truth, essentially. Sorry, Truth and McDonough falling through the table. And then he covers him. And it's like, great. Mm. Job done. Nice and easy. Very silly.
Yeah. Such a silly little thing.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, we titled this episode, Gunther versus Miz was a Christmas cracker because it was a cracking match.
I see.
But like, Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was in full Michael Cole mode. I'm in full festive mode, and this episode had a lot to do with that. This again was a Christmas cracker of an opening.
It was good.
It was a cracking start to the show. Although I don't know, it's only because someone brought it out there, being like, the title of this stream is crazy, that maybe someone will read that wrong. So I may have to rename that stream.
Do Americans not have Christmas crackers?
I don't know, but I wonder if people will read one of those words and think that I'm trying to say something else.
Interesting. I think that'll be a reach.
But anyway, we then got a video promo for the Party Girls, because they're going to be going for the tag titles later on tonight. Nia Jax came out for a promo and was immediately interrupted by Becky Lynch. And Nia was just like, all right, I'm off then. Just like leaving. And Becky's like, no. You came out here to say something. So you were. I was just going to say I'm in the 2024 Royal Rumble. And then she tries to leave. And Becky has this great promo about, like, you've never made a name for yourself. You've just been making a name on other people's names. You're only here because of who your cousin is. You only became a big name because you broke the face of the greatest to ever do it. And I'm the greatest to ever do it. And it's only other. And like she said, you know, the reason why... I thought Nia's retort of, like, the only reason why we've never had a match is because they are afraid of me hurting a moneymaker. Which I thought was, you know, it's a good line. Sort of buries herself a little bit. Because why aren't you a moneymaker? But
and also, like, why would they bury the whole company for hiring her if they think she's a liability?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just like, why? Yeah, buries yourself slightly to be like, I hurt people for reals.
Yeah.
And they basically set up a match that it's going to be for day one. They're going to have a one-on-one match. And they had a little brawl and Nia stood tall.
I thought this was a lazy segment. This got on my nerves a bit, I'll be honest with you, because first of all, what exactly is going on lately with people wanting to fight, and then they say, I'll fight when I want to fight. At the very least, Nia is a heel and hasn't said she wants to be the one to have the fight. Becky's been like, I want the fight, and Nia's been saying no. So that part makes sense, as opposed to Xia Li being like, where's my title shot? Not now.
Where's she?
But also, this was basically, well, yeah, good question. This was basically the exact same promo as last week. Like, this was, for me, a missed opportunity to do something a little different. When it became clear that last week wasn't going to be a match, and maybe this week's not going to be a match, and if you've got the plan, we're going to do it at day one, do something different with this segment, I think, would be a better call.
Fun fact, the chat has just informed us, they don't have Christmas crackers in the US.
Oh, you're missing out.
So yeah, I'm gonna change it now.
I'm
gonna change it to Christmas Classic.
I'll do you. Well, a Christmas cracker, for those who are, I mean, you probably know.
It's less good of a pun.
It's a thing you have on the table. It's made out of paper and you pull it apart and it goes pop. And whoever gets the bigger half gets all the presents within it. So you have a little paper crown. You got a little, a small puzzle made of plastic or wood or whatever. And often you'll find a little merry joke. Like, why was, what's black and white and red all over? An embarrassed penguin. Something like that, yeah. You know? Something festive. It's like snow themed. That's a Christmas cracker.
Very good. So I
mean, that's why Luke's pun was absolutely spectacular.
I would say, America, get yourself some Christmas crackers.
There it is.
That's what you should be introducing for your family traditions this year. We got to highlight that before the show, Kofi Claus was giving out presents.
Yep.
And then backstage, he bumped into DIY, who said they wanted tag titles, but got a Jey Uso t-shirt instead.
Basically the same.
And then they bumped into DIY, then bumped into The Miz, who then got bumped into by Jackie, who interviewed him, and that set up the Miz vs. Gunther match, which was awesome. However, it was also a backdrop to Imperium breaking up, so you took those 3 3/4 stars, and you made this a -5 star show, because stop trying to break up Imperium.
Devastated.
And Gunther was here to announce, I'm taking the next couple of weeks off. I'm going to be around for a little while, so you guys need to step up. And I was like, oh no, they're going to lose a lot now. That's the story, is they're just going to lose a lot. Spoilers, they did later on. So yeah, that set up a match for Imperium to take on, Ludwig Kaiser to take on Jey Uso. We'll get to that in a bit. Shinsuke Nakamura Red, an American Nightmare before Christmas.
Now this is very funny, Luke, because, and I don't know if you know this, but stay with me. Perhaps get a pen and write it down, because there is a film, are you listening? Which is called, are you there? The Nightmare Before Christmas. Not actually about Christmas, but I don't know, I've never seen it.
Have you not?
No, I've actually never seen it. That's the joke is now finished because I haven't seen the movies.
It's so okay.
Like, there's an entire industry of mall goths based on this movie.
I'm not a 14-year-old girl, so it's I don't love the movie.
Honestly,
I've seen your Spotify playlist. You're not a 14-year-old girl. And all respect to 14-year-old girls, because in a way, so am I. So, like, you know.
I'm not a 14-year-old girl. So, like, it's not my favorite Christmas movie, but the animation's quite lovely.
There you go.
And I think that This Is Halloween is a great song. What's This is a genuine Christmas banger. Mm. Like, that's on my Christmas playlist.
Is it Christmas or is it a Halloween film?
Well, it's both.
Ah.
It's a movie about Halloween.
Great.
Trying to learn the spirit of Christmas.
Okay.
And they kidnap the Santa Claus and try and like bring him in. It's okay.
It's also, of course, because I'm sure some people in the comments and the chat are going a bit nuts, a play on The Night Before Christmas.
Yes.
So what this segment with Kenzo? Who's Kenzo? Kenzo Suzuki? Who am I thinking of?
It was a wrestler called Kenzo Suzuki.
Was tagged with Matt Hardy and had a wife? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Must be.
Shinsuke Nakamura. That was... What happened to my brain just there? Anyway, this segment with Shinsuke Nakamura was two jokes removed from The Night Before Christmas to become The Nightmare Before Christmas, The American Nightmare Before Christmas. What did you think?
Do you remember when Shane McMahon read the Jack and the Beanstalk?
Honestly, which way did he go? Oh. Yeah.
And in my head, that's like one of the all-time great Shane McMahon things. The Attitude Era podcast in the last year or so reviewed the show where it is Shane versus Big Show from reading that. And if you watch it back, it's really lame.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like half speed Shane, tired jet lag Shane being like, and then I will face the mighty Big Show.
Yeah.
And there's like no inflections in it. I felt like this was sort of a similar thing. This was fine. I thought it was a fun little rereading of A Night Before Christmas. But I did write here, it was like, wow, this serious feud seems awfully silly now.
Yeah, it did have that element about it, didn't it?
Yeah, but the brawl was very good.
Mm. Except for, and I recognize that this is out of character for Cody Rhodes, I would have liked him to put that security guard through the table.
Yes!
Because,
Cody Rhodes, that is.
Because basically what happened is they have the brawl, the security guards in their black polo shirts come and have a go at them and separate them and pull them apart. And then Cody manages to... Their brawl just won't be contained. And they set up on the table that Cody's going to put Shinsuke through the table with a crossroads. Only one security guard pulls him away and then, you know, hoiks Shinsuke to safety. And I was like, Steve Austin would have just beaten you up. And I would have... Cody is an honorable man, is an honorable baby face. He wouldn't do this, but it would have been nice.
Yeah, well, he's too...
I wanted to have some tea.
He's too blue-eyed baby face.
He's too blue-eyed.
Because, you know, that man's got a family. It's just before Christmas.
My argument is it's like... He wouldn't go down in anyone's estimations if he did that. Do you know what I mean?
Go down in Cody's estimations.
Go down in his own estimations.
His own estimations.
And those are the worst.
What would Brandy think?
Well, that's fair.
You know,
she's too busy doing yoga. She's probably very chill about it.
I thought overall, it's a thumbs up segment from me because I enjoyed the brawl afterwards.
Yeah.
But the Nightmare Before Christmas thing was a little bit...
Not his best promo.
It's not the best promo. Yeah. He's actually had some really good
promos.
He's
had some great promos. Yeah.
Adam Pearce was chatting with Akira Tozawa backstage and agrees to give him the match that Tozawa wants. Piper Niven and Chelsea Green then walk in asking for their match.
From the same side.
Yes. Well, that's because they watched the podcast and listened.
Yeah.
So they wanted their match to be cancelled. They then left. Then Bronson Reed walked in and was like, "Hi, mate." No, because he's... No. And then he said, like,
I'm going to... Here and now, as we get closer to Elimination Chamber happening in Perth, Australia... I'm going to put a pin in that specific impression.
No, you sure?
Mm.
But I get it right every time.
Oh, I'm sure. That's your New Year's resolution. I'm writing it down right now.
You're not the first person who's told me to not do Australian accents.
Can it with Australian. I can let the Irish one slide, but not that one.
Oh, good day, mate. I'd really like that shot against Gunther right there.
It's giving Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know why or how.
Also, he's from New Zealand. I've got the wrong place.
Ozzy Osbourne?
No. He's from
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed.
Bronson
yeah.
Reed's from New Zealand.
But Ozzy Osbourne's from Birmingham.
That was my joke was, and then I was like, "Hang on, is there?"
Anyway,
that's why this show goes on too long.
Yeah.
By the way,
speaking of Raw going on too long, they were like, "Actually, we've got 3 minutes we need to fill here.
Yeah.
Should we just wish Trish a happy birthday?" Yeah, go on, why not?
And Stone Cold later on in the show, but you know, failing to meet and make a package for the birthday of the most important member of the Raw roster, which of course is Pete Quinnell. Happy birthday, Pete!
Happy birthday, Pete! I didn't get one either.
No.
The Party Girls.
Well, you've not been on Raw.
That's true.
Me and Pete
actually,
have.
Yeah.
Twice.
And you're not too far off your birthday either.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah. Nearly. A couple of weeks.
Party girls took 24. On. The Party Girls took on Chelsea Green and Piper Niven for the women's tag team titles. This is also negative 5 stars because Samantha Irvin did not do her Chelsea Green intro.
I wonder if that's on purpose.
I think so too. I think she's dropping it.
I don't know if she's dropping it permanently or if it's just a title match thing. Because
she's done it for title matches before.
I know, and it has felt weird. And I think maybe she's going, oh, just for this one, I won't. I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, it's about 9 minutes. Chelsea Green did hit a Rough Rider at one point, which was fun.
Confirmed.
The Party Girls hit their rough as assholes finish, which is the one where Caden Carr...
The after party.
No, not the after party one. That's actually quite smooth.
Oh, the cake stand.
The one where they stand on each other's shoulders and then do the twisting moonsault thing. But it's always like knees full on in the tits. Yeah. Like it is. It's an ugly ass move. And it just looks like it's no fun to take or do. That got broken up right at the last minute. And then they hit the after party to win the tag titles. Genuinely surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the match was decent. It was a good length. It was a competitive. The moves generally connected. The Party Girls have struggled with this a couple of weeks. Like there's been a lack of flow. I thought this was quite decent. And yeah, the title change was quite unexpected. I think Chelsea's done a decent job trying to make these belts matter, or at the very least trying to make them something that you want to see on TV every week. I don't think it's always worked, but it's never because of her, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
correction, Bronson Reed is Australian.
He's Australian.
And apparently Samantha Irvin said on Twitter she was told not to do it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It's an L for me.
That's the thing that that's what I want Twitter for, even though I don't think Twitter should exist anymore. I think it was I want the tag division to be something. I've been talking about this. That's my one Christmas wish. Will there to be a logic and a consistency behind the tag division? The fact that these are a team who have they have the same entrance, they have the same gear, they have tag team offense.
They like to party.
They just love it. And they admire they're going to party this Christmas. I think, yeah, good work, Chelsea. Thank you for your service. Let's have Sonya come back.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad a little bit for Chelsea because I think you're right. She's done a lot for these tag titles. And yeah. Piper Niven as well. Yes. Because like I think
Piper's lent in hard.
Growing into this like Chelsea character, I think, has been really, really fun along the way. And I've been kind of enjoying them on commentary.
Yes.
And it also feels like this has kind of been out of nowhere because the Party Girls just won 2 weeks and then they won the tag belts. And it felt like, oh, we could have built them up, heated them up a little bit before we're giving them. But I get why they did the tag switch. It's the Christmas episode.
You want something...
You need to... Like, of 3 title matches on a Christmas show, you kind of needed to do at least one title switch to give you that festive feeling. You may as well do it with the belts that don't really mean much. And you're not switching the main tag title. So, yeah, we'll switch these tag titles. Ultimately, it doesn't really mean a lot. And maybe Green and Niven can win them back at some point.
Mm. Or maybe, just going to throw this out there, maybe the witches exist.
I just genuinely thought this was very surprising.
Yeah.
I also saw someone say in the comments of the WrestleTalk news video that I did not bring up that they were late to break up one of the pinfalls and the Party Girls did get pinned and that my Raw paycheck was shining through.
Well, that would be incorrect because the pin that was broken up was the Party Girls pinning Piper anyway. That was the one that was late, so the ending wouldn't have changed.
Well, either way, for everyone who thinks that I hate Raw too much, there are some people who think that I'm paid by WWE to like it.
I'm paid by WWE to like it. He's paid by Tony Khan. Get your facts right.
Ivy Nile was warming up backstage with Alpha Academy, saying that she wants that title match with Rhea Ripley. And Akira Tozawa walks in and says, I've got a match with this guy. And Ivar walks into shot. Ivar then very quickly beat Akira Tozawa with the Avalanche World Strongest Slam.
Yeah.
We got a recap of CM Punk and Seth Rollins from last week. And then they wish Steve Austin a happy birthday.
Yeah, they did.
Rollins then came out for a promo. Oh, okay. You sat back as in you got some.
I have a lot to say about this one. So
oh, okay. I'll recap the segment as a whole, and then I'll throw to you. Yeah. So he says, I'm going to have a big 2024. Drew McIntyre comes out. And they started talking about how Seth Rollins has not been pinned since January 3rd. He's gone almost a full year without being pinned. But, you know, wins and losses don't matter. And Drew, I really liked Drew in the segment. He was like, I'm proud of you because you're the only person who was willing to step up to CM Punk and tell him exactly what everyone is thinking about him. And I really respect you for that. And he then tells a very sincere story about what it means to be a champion and to be a WWE wrestler, which is to always be away from your family, and your family being like, oh, we're doing this thing, and you have to reply, I can't because I've got to do these shows. And they don't say, oh, it'd be so nice to have you here. They say, no, you go follow your dreams. But that hurts even more because you're missing out on those family moments. So you know what? I don't just want that title. I need that title. I need that title so that the sacrifices I have made have all been worth it. And Seth had a really interesting reply to this, which was, I don't know what to make of you. Because there are some weeks when you're sincere like this, and there are other weeks when you're headbutting me, and I remember these things, and I don't believe you. I don't know what to make of you anymore. And the thing is that you're not, you say you'll keep willing to do whatever it takes to take this title off of me, but the one thing you're not willing to do is take responsibilities for your own actions and your own failures. And he then said, the only person stopping Drew from being champion is Drew McIntyre. I hate CM Punk. That is a real feeling. But I don't hate you, Drew. I pity you. And then Drew attacked him afterwards and hit the Alabama Slam into some steel steps. So now Seth has got a broken wing, or a hurt wing, going into the match with Drew at day one, as well as his bad back, which we're not really selling anymore. So my couple of notes from this. I thought Drew was great. I thought Seth's response was really, really good. I like, this is the kind of the Seth I want to see, not goofy, like that's not the Seth I want, but just like, I'm Tyler Black, I am Colby Lopez, like Seth Rollins, that's the cool Seth Rollins. And the very, very pointed line of, I don't hate you, I pity you, is taken from that Hangman promo.
Which one?
That Hangman promo. The Hangman promo that started all of the CM Punk drama, which is when he said to him...
In his face.
Yeah, I'm talking about what, like, workers' rights.
Yeah.
And he said in that promo, I don't hate you, I pity you. I'm not here to defend my title. I'm here to save AEW from you. It's what Seth Rollins said last week. I'm here to save WWE from you. And Seth Rollins again was echoing what Hangman said. So last week was not a coincidence. It's very much intentional.
Good spot, I didn't notice that.
It's very intentional that they are referencing that Hangman promo. Mm. The Hangman promo that led to Brawl Out, that led to CM Punk basically getting fired, and all of the issues with Punk in AEW. So that is all very much intentional.
Mm.
And I thought it was a good segment.
I thought this was the second top promo segment from Seth in 2 weeks. I think genuinely, I've watched back the one with Punk a few times now and listened to all our colleagues across the spectrum talk about it, because I think it was just a bit of magic. And then I think this one was absolutely exceptional as well, for a completely different reason. I'd forgotten they were having a match at day one until this promo reminded me, and I was like, great, now I really want to see it. Specifically, well, the hate and the pity line, I always remember something. This is such a Dan reference. Something Sharon Osbourne said on an episode of Piers Morgan's Life Stories.
Second Osbourne reference of the
speaking
show.
Of Danny Minogue, when he said, do you hate Danny Minogue? And she basically said, well, I don't hate her because hate is an emotion very close to love, and I don't have that time for her. And that was something that was very... I'd never really thought about... That's something that is spoken about a lot. Hate and love are kind of two sides of the same coin. They're very close together, a lot of energy. I never really thought about it in those terms until she said that line. So using that line, I completely forgot about that moment in the Hangman promo. Good spot. But that was a really like, oh, that'll get right under the skin of someone who wants you to feel that they're worthy. Mm. When Drew's entire business and the whole point of the promo was to say, I have this much fight in me, I want this belt from you, and Seth just says, I pity you. That is crushing. What a wonderful bit of work there from Seth and from the team putting it together. On the Drew side of the promo, when what he was speaking about, the sacrifices that you make, the things you miss with your family, back of my head's going, first of all, your contract's coming up, so I wonder how much of that is playing in your head, because you have been doing this for a really long time and you have been far away. And it really struck a chord with me specifically because, and I'm sure like many, possibly even you, Luke, and many at home, like, I don't actually see my family that often. Mm-hmm. I live in London, they live in Manchester. It's kind of close, but also far enough away. It's one of those weird bits of both. And I do so much work down here that I don't have / make time to go back. As a result, when I see them, they age so much more quickly. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I remember having lunch with my dad a couple of years ago and looking at him and going, you're an old man, which was a weird, weird feeling I had, where he's my dad. He's looked like my dad my whole life, and he still looks like my dad. He's just old now. And it was such a fascinating thought thing, and I really sort of stuck with me for a really long time. His energy is the same. His comedy is the same, but he looks older. And when you spend time with someone week to week or day to day even, that happens in a really gradual way and you don't even notice it. That really struck me. So when he's talking about not spending time with his family and all the things that he's missed and the illnesses that you're not there for, and I've lost loved ones and not been by their side. I've been there on the phone. Like when my grandma passed away, I was on the phone while everyone was in the room with her, which because I had to work, you know, I'm down south doing my thing. It's so true, right? That's such a that is such a baby face thing, because we make sacrifices and our family support us in those sacrifices. It is something that we do. However, there is something in the delivery of what Drew did here, which made him sound a bit desperate, a bit needy, and a bit whiny. And that combined with his actions, because he made a direct reference to Becky Lynch having the exact same sacrifices. But do you ever hear Becky Lynch complain about it? Like, she's got a rod up her back, like things are so much harder for her. No, you don't. She fights and fights and fights, and I'm the man. The man's come around, and I'm going to make this happen. And that's what a babyface does. Drew's doing it in a heel way. And that I found so interesting and so compelling. And maybe I've read a little bit too far into it. Maybe I was just feeling my Christmas spirits or whatever, because I've just been back to Manchester. But I just found that dynamic. Then when you get that, oh, that I pity you line to really set Drew over the edge. I can't put over enough how brilliant Drew McIntyre was in this promo and how brilliant I think his character work has been and what he's drawing on. And I hope that they have an absolute banger on day one, because I think it really set them up for that.
I think they will do, because I think the match they had at Crown Jewel was really, really good.
It was.
And that was a match that unexpectedly was going in. So. Two guys that were very, very good. So like,
yeah.
But you're right. I take your point of just like there wasn't a huge amount of heat going into it. There will be way more heat going into the rematch, which is exactly what you want from a rematch. So yeah, I'm like, I think they'll have a great match at day one. That's such an exciting like lineup for day one as well. It's about like pay-per-view worthy matches, and so we'll come into that in a little bit. But yeah, I thought it was really, really effective. I also agree this is 2 weeks in a row now where I thought, man, that's excellent from Seth. Like, really excellent from Seth. That's the Seth Rollins that we've sort of been wanting for so long. That is Seth Rollins right there, and I thought he was so, so great.
Yeah,
and I thought Drew was awesome. This is a brilliant segment. Really, really good.
Damn good.
Kofi Claws came out again, and Imperium ran down to beat him up, and Jey Uso ran down for the save. That was quite a nice touch. Jey saving Kofi.
Can I say this?
Kofi Claws.
This part.
Seasons yeeting.
Someone on commentary said seasons yeetings, and my first reaction was get I'm not having that one.
Look. The crowd likes saying yeet.
No, they do, but there's no need for that. We're not having that bit.
They've got the trademark now.
Did you see the t-shirt? It's blurred.
Yeah.
That's funny.
They like saying yeet. They say it a lot. The crowd really enjoys it.
There is no call for seasons yeeting.
Crowd were sure into chanting yeet during this. There was lots of interference from Giovanni Vinci, but Kofi ran back down to hit, give him the trouble in paradise, and Jey Uso hit the spear on Kaiser and the splash for the win. Jey Uso getting a rare singles win. It doesn't happen very often. I believe this is his first singles victory since moving to Monday Night Raw. So congratulations, Jey. And... yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'm way more into the idea of Jey and Kofi. Like, that's like a little dream team thing, given like all of their history and stuff.
Well,
that's a really fun bit of business.
That's kind of where my mind went as well, because I was like, oh, another good example of Jey turning over a new leaf and making good. He's the one to make the save for an old rival, you know, in many ways. I thought that was a nice Christmas present from the crowd, because your boy is over.
Sure is.
So you get him and Kofi both doing that. You're right, it's a little dream team thing. And yet, I spent the entire time watching the clock, because I wanted the main event to come back at this point. I was like, I want time on this main event.
Well, I was more annoyed. He was like, you know, stop breaking up Imperium. Backstage, Damian was laughing at JD for losing and sort of joked with him about like, kicking him out of the group. And Rhea Ripley had to step in and be like, Damian, he's like, no, you're still in the group. And I made this joke in my news episode. And I don't know how much people are going to give me on this one, but I think it's fairly apt. He's Tom Wonskancing him.
Try again.
He is Tom Wonskans.
Yeah.
And JD is Cousin Greg.
Who is? Who's who?
Damian Priest.
Is Tom.
Is Tom. And he's so because Tom keeps Greg around,
yeah,
because that's the power and that's the control. And he has all of the power and control over J.D. McDonough, because J.D. McDonough's not really in this group in his eyes.
It's not a perfect analogy, but I do see that.
It's because I've just finished watching Succession, so right. I've just got it on my mind. And I was writing my review today. I kind of stopped writing my review and just thinking about the finale again. What a great finale it stuck the landing.
It was quite good.
It's absolutely stuck the landing. Yeah. So I'm just like, so maybe I had it in my head. I'm constantly thinking about Succession at the moment. So I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of a Tom Wonskans thing.
Yeah. It's kind of.
I'm not going to run with it for a few weeks.
I don't think you should.
In 2 weeks' time, you know, past Christmas into 2024, I will have forgotten all about Succession.
When you start making your Doctor Who references.
I've never watched an episode of that in my life.
So. Oh, I started. It's quite fun, actually.
I've got no time for it.
I didn't think I did. And then I put a couple of episodes of the first couple of series on, and I was like, this is silly. I enjoy this.
I am neither a child nor someone who watched it as a child. So I'm not within its target demographic.
But you are a 14-year-old girl.
That's right. I'm actually a 40-year-old man who went to go see the Muppets Christmas Carol sing-along. So they announced for day one, it's Becky versus Naya.
Yeah.
It's Tegan and Addie versus Baszler and Stark, which is, you know, good. Nice bit of filler.
Yeah.
It's Rhea versus Ivy Nile for the women's title, and it's Drew versus Seth for the world title.
Decent little show.
Three big matches right there.
Looking like a hoop.
That's that's what you want from a big pay-per-view episode of Raw.
Hey, I'm going
to
be.
Thumbs up. What a great start to the year.
I'm going to be slightly hungover. Oh, I'm not, because it's a different day for us. But imagining the Americans sitting down, little hungover, I'll just put on a bit of Raw. That's a good 3 hours. Now I can go to bed. That's what they're billing, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And that brought us to our main event for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. It was the Creed Brothers taking on the Judgment Day.
And did you spot that we had the OG three here? You said at the beginning of the show, all of them came out, and it was quite nice to see. And almost a nice little reflection of that, also quite nice to see, was your Finn. Your Damien and your Rhea. Edge doesn't count as OG3 in this new Judgment Day, because his just Judgment Day were the weird ones.
Yeah. They were the magic ones.
They were the spooky jobbers. But yeah, I thought that was quite cute.
It was cute. Yeah. I was completely like, because Rhea's ringside, that suit's getting that loudest chance.
Yeah.
There was a story that Michael Cole told on commentary about Brutus, which is that when Brutus was a kid, he used to rip the handles off of microwaves to show how strong he was.
Why did he tell that story?
I think it's supposed to make him sound like it's a cute thing. As a parent, that would be so annoying.
Waste of microwaves.
I've got to buy another microwave, Brutus.
Yeah.
I can't believe I named you this as a child, but Brutus, I've now got to buy another microwave, you little shit. Stop breaking my microwaves.
I just realized one of them's called Brutus and one of them's called Julius. Oh, that's just connected. wait for the turn. Et tu.
So if you are a child watching this, don't rip the handles off of microwaves. They're expensive. I haven't got time to buy
it. I don't even have a microwave.
You're not?
No.
Oh, we did, because it's easy to heat baby's milk with a microwave and stuff.
I have very little need for baby's milk.
It's just delicious.
Imagine if they didn't know you had a daughter.
Anyway, Julius is awesome.
Oh my god, Luke.
his kip-up suplex sequence is just joyous. Oh. It's so much fun, and he's so, so great.
Some things in wrestling just work for a person. Mine is overhead suplexes, the straps of a singlet coming down, and a standing shooting star press. That man is everything. I just love him.
It's so, so great. Rhea and Ivy had a little fight at ringside, and Ivy actually stood tall, lifted Rhea up onto her shoulders and dropped her down, show off her strength. We got the Brutus Ball, but Priest broke that one up at the last minute. We then had another Brutus Ball, but Finn broke that one up, the coup de grace. Great way to protect that finish, and having to have both of the lads break up the pin as opposed to them kicking out of it. But, you know, protect the finish.
And it was Finn's finish that broke up the finish. So it's a very, very special move.
I think my only criticism now with this is, like, slightly limp ending, because you had this, like, it felt like it was really building up into this sort of, like, final act, and then Priest just won.
I don't think that was supposed to be the ending.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think something went a little bit wrong, only because Julius made a motion to kick out, and Priest looked like, what's happened? There was, and I watched it back about three times.
Okay.
I think there was supposed to be a little bit more. I think they were supposed to win,
but I think the ending was slightly, to your point, it wasn't what was supposed to go down. Maybe I've looked into that too much.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was the final move of the match.
No.
And they just sort of won out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sort of like quite a little build to get to that final moment. I don't know whether something did go wrong or what have you, but I thought it was a fairly like weekend as well, which was a pretty good match, actually.
It was.
For me, the key to this match and what I think is its biggest success is that this was a match that told you, the audience, these guys will be tag champions, just not now.
Too early.
It's too early.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really smart move. And I thought this match elevated the Creed brothers, who have already been like elevated week on week on week. And then you put them into this world tag match where they hang with the world tag champions. Genuinely, like, this put them onto another level. I thought this was a great bit of business.
I agree with you on that. And I think as well, it did that for Ivy, because Ivy has not had the same level of lift as the Creed. She's been present, so yeah, as part of a unit, you know, they're all great, but aside from the battle royal and then also the tag match she had with Maxine, she hasn't really showcased what she's got. So to have that moment of Rhea being like, I'm the all-powerful Rhea Ripley, and then Ivy being like, well, I'm just as good as you, anything you can do, and actually I'm going to finish the move,
yeah,
was a nice little spot for them as well. The part where Julius just stops being a human and flips out of the side of heaven and hops up to the top rope for a senton, I can't even with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it really has built them, to your point, as yeah, we're going to put belts on them and they're going to be flying to the moon. This just wasn't the time yet.
Spoilers for Three Count that's coming out this Sunday, in fact. So spoilers for Three Count this Sunday. I, when came to Julius Creed, said Kurt Angle year.
Oh, good shout.
That's kind of what I would love to do with Julius Creed.
I mean, I feel a bit bad for Brutus.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. But I feel that, like, Julius is the one.
Yeah.
And I would give him that rookie year. That incredible rookie year where you just win loads of stuff.
Mm.
You know, like, Kurt Angle in his first year won the IC title, he won the European title, he won King of the Ring, and he won the world title. Like, it was, like, the greatest rookie year in WWE history. Like, that's the sort of thing I think you would be doing with Julius Creed. Because he is... He's that guy.
And like, I really hate to say it because it sounds a bit shallow, but he does look the part.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah. So, let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here at wrestle.com/support. Head on over to Patreon, by the way, because we've got some lovely bonus stuff. In fact, we've got our survival series, Thunderdome Edition, is up at the moment with a plethora of guest stars. Steven Larson from Going In Raw, Kate from Fightful, Alex Queen of the Ring, and SP3 from True Heel Heat. Next week, as a little Christmas bonus, we'll be having our review of Starrcade 1997. Ollie Davis and I recorded that yesterday. It is Ollie Davis losing his mind as I tell him just what of a cluster F that show was. Because it's not just that main event.
Mm.
It is T to B, top to bottom.
Yeah.
A show that is in a mess. Because advertised was Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero. Dean requested that time off because his wife was giving birth. And they were like, yeah, sure, Dean. We're going to have Rey Mysterio fill in for you. But then they kept advertising that it was Dean versus Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
And the reason why they had to keep advertising it was Dean versus Eddie Guerrero is because Conan couldn't make the show for a six-man. It had to be replaced with Randy Savage. That has its own implications. I'll get into that in a second. Raven versus Chris Benoit was not going to happen. Ric Flair versus Kurt Hennig was not going to happen because Flair got injured. And the Giant was probably going to no-show the event. Sorry, Kevin Nash was probably going to no-show the event in his match against the Giant,
Jesus,
which ends up not happening at all. And with the Randy Savage thing, Randy Savage gets put into this six-man with, like, you know, the NWO B team. They had to negotiate with him to be part of that match. And part of that was, you get to win and you get to pick who you pin. And he was like, well, I'm not pinning Ray Traylor. He's a jobber. I'm pinning Scott Steiner, one of the tag champions.
Jesus Christ.
And I, you know, slight spoilers for the end of that show, but we had this big joke about, like, I keep getting people telling me, it's like, man, AEW is like, it's like WCW in its dying days. I'm like, this was WCW in its winning
peak
days.
It's
like,
peak.
This is when it's on top, and AEW is nowhere near like this.
But this is why you do need structure. Like,
you do, but also, you know, study your history.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating show to watch. That goes live next week. Also, I gave the show 4 out of 5.
Yeah, big thumbs up.
Yeah, big thumbs up.
Fun time.
Now let's get into the remainder of your Ultra Chats. Blake Whitehouse here has said, here's my issue with Damian Priest right now. I do not see anything making this dude look like a world champ in the next few months. So either he's going to fail a cash-in, run out of time, or cash-in successfully on Gunther. No matter what, he's going to look dumb.
Well, I think if you go into it thinking he's going to look dumb, he will look dumb. I don't think necessarily that's how it has to go down. There is a lot of time between now and July.
Yeah, but I agree that you need to heat this guy up to fill. He does not feel like a Money in the Bank holder.
Yes.
Yeah. Robbie the Great 614 has said, "Hey fellas, first time Ultra Chat today. Judgment Day just isn't hitting it for me anymore. They need to lose the tag title belt and the belts need to be split up. Gunther is awesome and the McIntyre-Rollins promo was fire. Love you guys. Jam that jam."
Thanks for your chat. I also agree. They should. They need to lose the belts, but I don't know when.
Yeah. My Chemical Blackness here said, "It sure was nice seeing the full Judgment Day entrance after so long, but on the real... white folks, what the hell are you doing, man? It's time to make rock music mainstream again. I like all flavors of ice cream, but I don't know all the brands. Help us help you. Come on now."
Is that to do with the opening theme or the rock music? I don't quite get the reference.
I think it might be. Is it the Judgment Day's theme?
Maybe.
Which I think is Alter Bridge. Joey Monroe says, "I'm unironically loving everything that Talia is doing. When she's on TV, that is. I feel like I'm on my own here, but her versus Rhea in an actual title feud is a dream of mine. I don't count the Saudi squash. Insert me into the hype up a silent crowd."
You're not on your own. I like Natalia too. I think she had the considerably better match with Rhea on Raw a couple of weeks later. I don't think her in the title feud right now is where to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I would split her up from Tegan Knox though, because I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Matt here said, "Who's your pick for the men's Rumble? Punk doesn't need to win to get a match with Rollins. Another Cody Rumble win, I think, would be great for the fans to turn against him. So maybe Drew leading to a triple threat at Mania with Punk and Rollins."
Punk or Cody for me.
Yeah, it's Punk or Cody for me at the moment. Chris says, "You guys can stay on as long as you like. The longer the better for me. I watch multiple times a week. Also, as much as I don't like the idea of breaking up Imperium, I would like Ludwig to be the one to dethrone Gunther."
Goodness days.
Well now.
Hello.
Well now.
Well, I never.
Well now. Chris Deaton. Well.
That's bold statements.
I mean, he has got model looks.
And he's got lovely nipples.
Lovely nips. John Wick 1GM. That's a genuinely brilliant idea, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's a great Mania match.
Gunther versus Kaiser.
As the payoff to this. Mm. It's a big Ludwig Kaiser babyface turn.
I'll go you one better. Do you know where it's a better match? Berlin.
Oh, do you know what's a better idea? Triple threat.
The Imperium! Imperium triple threat!
The Imperium
none of us have been asking for.
We didn't do the Shield triple threat at WrestleMania, but we can do the Imperium triple threat at Bash of Berlin. John Wick 1GM said, "The World Heavyweight Championship needs Gunther to validate it. Seth not wrestling weekly and Gunther putting on bangers anytime he's in the ring would put that title on the map."
I think he'd need a different level of feud in the world title picture than he has had with the Intercontinental, which truly just has been, are you good enough to beat Gunther? I think he needs to, in the world title feud, he'd need more emotion.
Yeah.
You know.
Benny Boy here said, "Sorry, not Raw related, but do you guys think AJ Styles could be doing a version of his old No One Evil Ways gimmick from TNA? Not really a full heel turn, but just on his own."
I'm going to defer to your personal knowledge.
I mean, I suppose so. Like, I think heel AJ would be fun, like not being goofy heel AJ that he was with, like, beat up John Cena. Like, you know, not being that heel AJ, but just being like, you know, that New Japan AJ, that latter day TNA AJ. I could possibly go for that. Also, boy was looking jacked.
Jeepers.
See, there's like, what's the size of it when he came out?
I know. Goodness.
York Master here says, "I think I have a grasp on some of WWE's next major booking. Bayley wins the Rumble, Elimination Chamber, six of Roman's past foes." This one is more of a guess. "Reed versus Gunther, Becky versus Rhea in the main event seems to be the biggest match they can do. Rematch of WrestleMania, Thor."
Now that is an interesting point. People have been talking about building to Becky and Rhea at
Mania,
but you have a big show in Australia right there. So
with an Australian champion.
Yeah, that's it. So maybe... We talked about it with like Punk and Rollins and WrestleMania Night 1, blah, 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 blah. Maybe you get around that by having that match be the main event of Elimination Chamber. And then
you know, that's maybe. Yeah, interesting thought.
Jay here says, it's remarkable how much more I'm enjoying WWE lately. Is it because VKM is out of creative? Is it because Triple H is head of creative? Is it because of the rivalry with AEW has forced everyone to step up? Is it marketing, messaging? It's all of the above. It kind of is all of the
above. It is all of the above.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's such a better product at the moment. Mm. It's here's how good of a product it is. Last week, I really liked the show, but the comments would tell you that I hated the show.
Yeah.
Because I didn't overly love it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was like, this was a really good show. But because I didn't say everything was 5 out of 5, I was like, Luke just hates WWE. Luke hates Raw. I messaged you being like, I don't know what I said on that show.
Yeah,
people
came
after me.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a really good, it's the best product at the moment. It's a hot product.
I was listening to a Triple H interview where and Nick Khan was talking about like being how much attention you pay to AEW, and they were talking about how our competition is entertainment, and it's one of those things where like I don't
believe him.
You don't believe? Well, see, I do, because, and the reason I believe they say he does like pay attention to some AEW, but everything is competition, and I think you have to look at everything as competition, because when we have a very limited space of time in the world, and this is a very expensive world, and we all have to work very hard to be able to afford things because the economy's in the toilet, and some of us work harder than the rest of us put together, and also somehow maintain a healthy relationship and father a child. Meanwhile, I can't do anything. Like when we have those moments in the evening to put on the telly, what are we going to choose to watch? Come a time in the past few years, I would have skipped Raw. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now I get excited to watch the show. And I think viewing it as like, well, we need to put on the best entertainment show possible has done that, you know, rather than an audience of one, which has always been what it was.
No, I don't disagree with this argument that they are in a war against all entertainment. Mm. It's just this idea of like, oh, I don't really focus on AEW.
Yeah, no, I look at that.
I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah, but Triple H said he did. It was the thing he says. I do pay attention to what's going on in AEW.
Yeah, so that I do believe.
Yeah.
Walker here has become a member, and he said, Royal Rumble, Gunther is the Iron Man, Sheamus returned and eliminates him. World WrestleMania 40, it's title versus career. Sheamus wins, but it's probably Elia on his debut.
I mean, if he's healthy, that's not a bad shout.
Yeah.
That's a good shout. In fact,
Unknown has been a member for 28 months in a row. Says one of my biggest hopes of the Royal Rumble is a Big E return and a surprise entry with both Kofi and Xavier in the ring being overpowered by Imperium. Oh, to lead to an Imperium versus New Day feud. David here has been a member for 2 months in a row. Says pretty fun show. Just bought tickets for my first ever live WWE show in over 20 years for Raw in April. Merry Christmas, everyone at WrestleTalk.
Merry Christmas to you.
It's gone to a point now where I didn't talk about this in my news episode I did about the house show business and WWE scaling back their house show business, and this idea that they might even look to change up the way they make television shows because it's an expensive process and they're looking to cut costs wherever possible. I do a much more deeper dive in this in the news episode. But previously, I would have said going to house shows was way more fun than going to TV tapings. I've been to house shows for WWE and had a brilliant time because wrestlers don't have TV time constraints. They don't have to hit commercial cues. They just go out there and have fun. A lot of fun stuff in wrestling has been invented at house shows where wrestlers are just going out there and having fun. Mm. TV tapings I found to be laborious because you are literally watching a live TV production being done. The lights going up, the lights going down. I mean, me and Ollie went to a Raw taping at the O2, and it was one of the most tedious things I've ever been to.
As a nerd, I love that stuff, but I can understand as a casual audience member.
We were there for work purposes, you know, for doing this job, but I was like, it was so boring. And it got to the end of the second hour, and Ollie was like, oh, man, well, at least we get to go home soon. And he hadn't realized that there was still another hour of the show to go, and he was like, oh, this is like 2017. So it was
the show itself wasn't
great. The show itself wasn't very good anyway. I'm now at a point where I'm like, I don't think I'd actually like to go to a TV taping.
SmackDown was well fun.
Yeah, I'd really quite like to go to a TV taping now and kind of like really, because I think the TV show week to week is very, very good. And then the house shows would be brilliantly fun as well. Like, so we're now in a world where you get the best of both worlds, and it starts here tonight. You get great house shows and great TV shows.
What a time.
Tracy has been a member for 3 months in a row. So just wanted to tell you boys, Merry Christmas, and thanks for all you do for us fans and us weirdos. Here's to an amazing 2024.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Dartrain24 has been a member for 16 months in a row. Said, I recently lost my godson due to bullying that he couldn't handle. It's the holiday season. Be good to each other, and thanks for the distraction, fellas. I'm so sorry to hear that. That sucks. But yeah. I hope you're okay. Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. Anton Reinhardt has been a member for 11 months in a row. Says, thank you for an amazing year, Rest Talk. Hope you all have an amazing holiday season and a happy new year. Can't wait for the end of year videos. I can't wait for people to see the end of year videos.
I've been refreshing. I didn't know when they were coming out. So I was just sat at home going.
Starts here tomorrow here on the Rest Talk podcast channel. Terilio Marcus says, thanks for a great year of 2023. I found you about 1 year ago and what a year it was. Thank you. My pick for dethroning Gunther is still Ilya. I hope to see you at the watch party for the Rumble. Have a nice Christmas and a happy new year. Merry Christmas to you as well. And Kay here said, I just want to say how much I love you two and Ollie. Dan's charming, rambling, Luke's sincere way. You both make me so happy every time. You've helped me through some rough times. So I love you. Stay consistent, Kirsten.
I would like you to know that when I start a sentence, I have such a vision for the end of it. I really know where it's going.
Yeah.
If you just trust me, I'll get you there. I don't know how long it's going to take me.
And we have a new member, Infanta Consumer. Thank you very, very much. I'm just going to end the poll now to see what you thought of this episode of Monday Night Raw, and it's thumbs up 82% with 15 in the middle. The rest being thumbs down or percentile differences.
The people who put things in the middle, I want to know what they want.
I wonder if those people are like, Miz Gunther was excellent, that promo segment was great, but everything else,
yeah, that's fair.
It kind of brings me back down to the middle, but I thought that Miz Gunther match was so great and the promo segment was so great that it's ba-ding, right up there. I had a great time with this show. And I had a great time chatting with you there and with Dan as well.
Merry Christmas, bud.
Merry Christmas, bud. This is our last Raw episode of 2023. So we'd like to thank you all for watching us this year. I will be back on Thursday though with the Dynamite review. So I'll be able to say like my proper thank you all and you know, happy holidays and all that sort of stuff then.
But I won't be.
Dan, you won't be. So is there any Christmas messages, any holiday messages you'd like to send out?
No. Just have a nice time. Be good to yourselves and each other. Spread joy and also gravy.
Bless us all.
No singing.
Throughout the year.
Oh, he's still going.
No? No one was.
I don't know what you're singing.
It's Bless Us All from Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, I've only seen it once.
What, Dan?
Yeah.
What Christmas movies have you seen?
The Holiday?
Yeah. And also, you're one of those people that will incorrectly try and tell you that Home Alone 2 is better than Home Alone 1.
Well, it is because
it's not, though!
It's exactly the same movie, but there's a woman with birds as friends and it's set in New York. Ergo, better movie.
I actually...
Down the hall and to the left.
I actually, because everyone keeps trying to tell me that Home Alone 2 is better, the other night put it on and it is objectively terrible.
It's not terrible! It's the same film!
But it's not.
Do you like Home Alone?
Well, I do.
Well, then you must like Home Alone 2.
Which is why Home Alone 2 is actually annoying.
She's friends with birds and they go to the concert.
Why was the bird gift not for his mum? The whole point of those gifts is to give to someone you're not with all the time. Give it to his mum then, like, because they're always separated. That's the payoff.
He's not with her all the time. She's with the bird.
He doesn't know her. He met her two like days ago.
This is Christmas.
Will Chisholm has been a member for 4 months in a row. Says, I got a theory. I think R-Truth is here to help Priest turn babyface.
If anyone can do it, R-Truth can.
Edgar Carrasco has been a member for 24 months in a row. Says, Miz vs. Gunther was excellent. Opened my eyes to how good Miz can be when given a chance. Thanks for reading my messages since Mania. Thank you very much. And Stephen Costa has been a member for 19 months in a row. Says, Merry Christmas, lads. See you at the Rumble. And we will see you on Thursday for the AEW Dynamite review, but we'll also see you tomorrow for Wrestler of the Year 2023. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been the Professor Dan Layton. That's been the Wrestle Podcast channel. Please do press the subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.